We'll be taking our Bible reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, from verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole world in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, brother. The reading. I'll get there in a minute. All this technology. The Apostle Paul never had these problems, did he? I always remember when I went to... When we was up in Yorkshire, I was only young at the time, working with the church, and I just invested in one of these tablets. I got it, all my Bible passages in there, and... I would leave the house in the morning and Janet would shout out the window, "Moses, don't forget your tablet." And she thought, "What a news," and she'd get me with that every time. It's just great to be here. Look at the amount of people here. It's incredible. All the children, and it's just wonderful. I defy anyone to tell me that God is not a powerful, amazing God. It really is wonderful. And Brother Gary's class this morning, wow. They're the kind of things we need. They're the kind of things we need. Because we need to be growing, learning, focusing on the Word of God and the power of His message, because it is His Word. And that is what will define any answers we have. We will only find in here. And if we find them in here, then we know that we've got the right answers, and that's what we're looking for. And I know Brother Gary feels as strongly as I do that the Word of God is what we teach. Not opinions, not views, not what we think, but the truth. And it's in the Word of God. And you cannot argue with Scripture. You can argue with man. But you cannot argue with the Word of God. Do you know, I think back some time now. I can remember the first time I told Sister Sabina, we was outside of the church in Loughborough, I said, "Sister Sabina, we're going to go to Leicester and we're going to start a church, a ministry there." And her and Mufon were dancing in the street. And I remember not long during that time we were doing gospel campaigns, and I remember we were kind of finishing off some campaigns, and we was in Sheffield at the time, and it was in Sheffield that I met Brother Emmanuel and Sister Edith. And I always remember Emmanuel saying, "Well, when you start a ministry in Leicester, we'll be there." And I forgot all about that, and then we was about to start the ministry, and Emmanuel and Edith turned up, and Edith's stomach was out here with her first child, Alita. And I remember that very well, because it was a wonderful blessing to have those two people, our Christians, with us here as we started the ministry here. And it was incredible. And I remember the first time Alita was born, our first child born physically in the congregation was Alita. I remember walking into chapel one Sunday morning and there was a young girl sitting on a step, young teenage girl. She said to us, "Where are you going?" We said, "We're going to church." She said, "I'll come." And she came in and she was baptized. She was our first person that was baptized, and that's Amanda sitting over there. First person to give her life to Christ. And, you know, these things are things that stick with you. I can remember many times praying, "God," and I can tell you, this is the truth, and I really mean this, is the truth. Every day I pray for the church, every day. And for the last 10 years, I have prayed that leaders would be brought to this congregation and that we can develop leaders. That was a prayer that was every day without fail. I can truthfully say that. And boy, did he not provide. You know, I remember one Wednesday night sitting in a Bible class, and remember at that time Brother Emmanuel was doing all the song leading and I was doing all the preaching, and that was it. You know, everybody had to just put up with the two of us. And as we were slowly growing, more people were coming. But I remember one Wednesday night sitting in class in Walker, Sister Laverne, with this gentleman from America called Brother Gary Smith. And he walked through the door and he sat down, and as soon as he started speaking, he knows his Bible. And what a blessing to this congregation. And he continued on, Brother George and so many more. Kevin, you know, Kevin and Linda. Yeah, Kevin's got such wisdom, such experience, been through a lot of things, but stood his ground and has been a blessing to this congregation and continues to be that way. But the point is this, brethren. God controls what is going on. God is in control of everything that we achieve to do. It's his work. It's his hand. So we find ourselves in a building and we have no seats left. What was it, last November when we were out looking for a new facility, new building? And we were looking at shops, and listen, I went with Brother Michael, we went to one place, we were wading in water when we got in this building, there was no roof. You know, we was wading through water, wasn't we, brother? And we were thinking, oh boy. And I remember one Saturday morning we was out looking at the facility and it wasn't to be, and we was coming back, and Brother Michael called the brothers and said, "Listen, I found somewhere." And we went and looked and we walked in and I looked at the faces and everyone was saying, "We're going to have this." And we thought, okay, we need £315,000. We have enough to pay for the solicitor, that's all. But with prayer and with God, within a few months we achieve it and we get it. And we got, and you know, we are weeks away from moving in. Weeks away, not months, but literally weeks away. And that is the power of God. I want to tell you something, that one of the things I've learned in life is that God will use us when he feels we are ready. And sometimes in our life we think we are ready. I think for the last 10 years we've always said, "When are we going to get a building? When are we going to get a building?" And I think he's just kept saying, "You're not ready yet. You know, you're not ready yet. But a time will come when you will be." You see, we have to seek to understand. And I think in the past I've mentioned in Scripture where it talks about the number 40. You know, often the number 40 refers to testing. Because if you look, every time the number 40 was used, there was a testing involved. You know, there was some form. Jesus was tested for how many? 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days testing. You know, Moses was in the wilderness 40 years before he was deemed ready to leave. 40 years. And I believe he was 40 when those 40 years began. so he would have been 80, before he was ready to lead and would have gone through all the things during that time, because testing brings maturity. And I believe that the last 10 years we have been tested, have we not? We went through a COVID, and I'm thinking, Lord, keep the brethren safe. When this COVID is finished and we come back together, I don't want to see anybody missing. And see, in life, the tests that we go through, even our personal tests, you will go through tests yourself. You're probably going through them now. I can think of many tests I've been through, and Janet's been through, we as a couple. You know, through things that we have been through, and we think to ourselves, well, at the time, you don't like it. But what you discover is that these things are things that develop us and prepare us to make us ready. And looking back, probably over the last 30 odd years of the ministry that we've done, we actually felt like all of it just led up to now. It was almost as if God had used all that time getting us ready and prepared. In 1 Corinthians 12, the church is compared as a body, or is comprised as a body, and Christ is the head. But one thing in 1 Corinthians 12 is that God has given a function to every member of the congregation, every single one of us. And we need to realize that God will prepare you and mold you and get you ready for that function. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want you to think about that, because this is all inclusive. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, every gift, every blessing within this room, every person in this room has a place, and every person in this room, God has given you a gift. And that gift, and that blessing, when he talks about the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to each one. And what is the purpose? For the profit of all. And you see, whatever you go through in your life, God is preparing you. Over the years, let me mention Wednesday class. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I was telling a story about a man who I grew up as a child. And this man, he had mental health issues. He wasn't very, I wouldn't say outgoing. He couldn't teach like this. But this man found his role. And he stood at the gate of the building door. And he stood there every Sunday for the entirety of his Christian life before he died. And what I was telling the brethren on Wednesday was, what he did was, he didn't only just stand on the door before the meeting started, he stood through the whole service. He never sat down once. And on one occasion, he even had a bad leg. And I was telling the brethren, he stood at the door, and he welcomed everybody in, and he greeted them and wished them well as they left. That was the task that he took upon himself. He went through tests of his own in his life. He had a lot of difficulties and struggles in his life, but he stood at the door. And there are people here who will know him and remember him. And his name was Eric. And at his funeral, we emphasised the fact that one of the greatest important tasks of the temple was the gatekeeper, the doorman. He was the second most important to the high priest. His task was to take care of the door. And his one brother did just that. But the point is this, that he went through tests, he went through difficulties, he went through struggles. But he found the thing that was important and he took it upon himself and used it. And when he passed away, we couldn't find anybody to fill his shoes. Because most people could stand at the door, but they couldn't stay there for the duration of the whole meeting. They had to sit down. Well, no, not him. He was there. I want you to notice something. If you cut off your arm, chop your arm off, okay, that arm is no longer a part of your body. It's not there anymore. It's gone. It's gone, okay? But if I just get this arm and decide that this arm I'm not going to use anymore, I'm just going to let it hang down there, and it's just going to hang and it's going to be numb. And everywhere I go, the rest of the body carries this arm around with it. Everywhere I go. This arm is, it's not doing anything, and it's numb. And it's just hanging there, and the rest of the body is just carrying it around. And when I want to wash this arm, the other arm lifts it up and helps it wash. And the other arm dries it, and then the other arm lets it back down again. And everywhere the body goes, this arm goes with it. In other words, it's still a part of the body. It's not been severed. It's still attached to the body, but it's useless. In other words, it's not an active part of the body. And it needs the help and support of the rest of the body to do anything. And it kind of, in a way, hinders the rest of the body because that arm is not fully functioning. And sometimes, even as Christians, we can be like that, where we want to be a part of the body, but we don't really want to fully function. And so what I want to encourage you to do is find your gift. Find your talent. Because you've all got them, and use them, and put them into action. You know, we get this new building, we want to fill it to capacity. And we want to be studying and teaching people the gospel, just as we want to do that right now. And so we as a body want to be fully functioning. I want you to note that our passage to each of one there is something that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. There is something. You know, do you know, quite often, no one wants to be the toe. Do they? What part of the body am I? I don't want to be the toe. Don't let me be the toe. I want to be the eyes or the ears or the mouth. You know, let me be the mouth. Or let me be the face. You know, everyone can see me, but not the toe. Don't let me be the toe. Well, you lose your toe and you fall or you struggle to walk. And that is why the part that we play is not in category of importance. Every single part of the body is critical. And so the testings in your life is God's preparation for you to be able to do the things that you do. Now, this is not the big position standing here. This is not the big position. This is just a role. And Brother Gary will tell you the same. These are just the roles that each person, whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, in order to grow, in order to mature, in order to function, allow God to test you and allow God to put you through whatever he puts you through. I know many Christians who have a lot that they could have achieved for the body, but they couldn't handle the test. And so as soon as the tests came, they were gone. They left. They left the body. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now notice this. In order to grow, we have to start as babies, from growth. You know, I can't be me unless initially I was a baby. I had to be a baby. And my mother said I was probably one of the most awkward babies on the planet. But you know, we all have to begin from the start. And so as Christians, we become a part of the body through giving our life to Christ, through baptism. Through baptism. Now the question is this, what stage in your life are you at? Because if you are still just a baby, then you're not fully functioning as you could function within the church. In other words, we are held back and restricted because we're not developing and growing. And so we as Christians need to grow, we need to develop, we need to mature, and we need to get to a better stage. You know, what stage are you at? Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ." So we are expected to grow. Your children, you expect them to grow. If your child is, let me tell you, Bradley was still crawling around in my living room, I'd have him down the doctors by now. There's something wrong. What's wrong with Bradley? We are expected to grow. And I want to encourage you to look at your life. Am I growing? Where am I? What is my maturity like? How am I growing? You see, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things. And so we are expected to grow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And I want you to notice something. When a baby is born, its natural instinct is it wants milk. It's a desire. It seeks the milk. Now, we as Christians, being born again, need to be seeking the Word of God. We need to be seeking it and trying to feed upon it. In other words, I'm hungry for it. You know, I always say that, you know, by Sunday we should be so drained that we just need a feast to get ourselves charged back up again. It's a bit like having a battery and you use all the power up through the week and then come Sunday, it needs recharging again. And so that should be your life. You should be hungry for the Word and hungry to feed upon the pure milk of the Word of God, that you may grow and mature and be the best that you can be as a Christian. Beginning with birth, we must continue to maturity. We have to be born first in order to progress. And so, brethren, as Christians, it's time to progress. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we know the importance of that. In other words, we start at the bottom and we work our way up. We build ourselves up to maturity and growth. That is what we need to do. How do we do that? Through study, through prayer, through fellowship, starting at the bottom of the process, learning the walk, learning the steps, learning how to grow and develop, and discovering the gifts that we have that we can use to serve in the kingdom. A tree must be a seed before it can be a tree. It has to start there. A tree cannot just become a tree. It has to begin as a seed. So every tree in the forest, every tree in the forest will have begun as a seed. We cannot stay as babies. And a tree cannot remain a seed. Imagine planting a crop and you come back and there's nothing there. And so we as a congregation, that's what we need to do. I'm excited. I love, you know, this morning we studied the blue schoolroom. The men, we could have filled, we filled the room of men standing around together talking about our worship and praying before we came in here to start our worship. And so this excitement is about the congregation as a whole. Male, female, brothers and sisters, we all have important roles to play. And it's exciting that we can all be a part of that. But we need to desire to grow and develop. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to corn, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" You see, the food that we have is the spiritual food. It's the spiritual feast. He says, "I could not speak to you as spiritual people as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." You see, we have to grow and develop. If our food is the food of the world, we won't grow. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. Because it's a two-walk path. We're talking about this in our Bible class when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It's a two-way walk. We either walk in the Spirit or we walk in the world. But you won't grow on anger. You won't grow on greed. You won't grow on money. You won't grow on selfishness. But as brethren in the body of Christ, as Christians walking in the Spirit, we grow on the spiritual food. It is the food that feeds us. And he says that he fed them with milk and not with solid food. And he was waiting for their development and growth and maturity. Because the world is confused. Because the world is from the heads of men. Now you go and stand in the street. I've stood in the city near the clock tower, talking to people as they come by about the gospel. And you hear a lot of the things that the world believes in, and a lot of things is confused with the minds of men. But we need to feast upon the will of God, because it is the will of God that will teach these people. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That, brethren, is maturity. That is maturity. Being able to divide the scripture, being able to divide the words, being able to teach the world what we believe. Being diligent. You know, there's a lot of things in life we can be diligent at. You know, we can be diligent in our hobbies and in our careers and in our studies. But we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. Because it is God who we need to present ourselves to. We are the living sacrifices. We need to be holy and pleasing to Him. And so that is something. And note it says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Does not need to be ashamed. Because of the truth that we have. In 1 Peter 3 verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your way and in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who says or who asks you in a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Brethren, there's so much that we need to do as a body. We need to be growing, we need to be developing, we need to be using the things that we have. There's going to be a lot of changes coming. A lot of changes coming over the next few weeks. And you know, God is blessing us. He is blessing us in such a way. And He's waiting for us. I believe that He has prepared us. I believe He sees this is our time. I believe He's prepared us and got us to where we are today. But we cannot be content and sit back and say, we've made it, we're here. You know, we've only just begun. And I believe strongly that each one of us needs to examine our lives, see how we can improve, see how we can develop and be the best that we can be for His kingdom. Let's grow together like children developing together. Hebrews 10 says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us, and here we go, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we're striving for. Not forsaking, here we go, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because we're a body, we're united, as it is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. I pray that God will continue to bless this congregation, continue to work through us, you know, over the next few weeks, if He wills, and if His will comes to be, you know, may it be to His glory, and may we see this as an opportunity to continue forward in making a difference in this city. It's a big city, and, you know, we give Him glory. I pray that God will bless you. I want to offer an invitation. If you'd like prayers this morning, let me encourage you to bring them requests and we'll remember you in prayer. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, we'd like to encourage you to do that. We'd like to encourage you to give your life to Him today in baptism. And we'll do everything we can to assist that and enable that to happen. Let's have an invitation song, brother.